Capricorn, and welcome to your 2015-2016 birthday reading. My name's Eric Francis, here with some thoughts for you, some information, some ideas surrounding the very unusual astrology that you are living through and have been living through for some time, which has lately, over the past year, entered a new extended phase, which is in many ways a different expression of the same, which you might think of as revolutionary force, or perhaps an evolutionary force, really it's both, that has been in a way inundating your life going back to around 2008, with another big shift in 2011. And I read your astrology knowing this is not an ordinary time in your life, and that in some respects it may not be an easy time in your life, but you may have that Pluto thing going on, Pluto being the long-term visitor to your sign, where the challenges are difficult and they are satisfying. And I would begin with the wisdom of my old friend Martha Lang Westcott, who said that Pluto transits, which you are under, are difficult and they last a long time and they compel us to adapt in certain ways. And despite all of the challenges, we miss them when they are over. And so you've got a while left for this particular Pluto transit and other, you know, encounters with outer planets, the slow-moving gods of change, as one astrologer put it. But I would encourage you to ponder at the outset how you might miss this unusual and very compelling pressure that you are under, the pressure to grow and to evolve, but most of all to dismantle the past. One of the hardest things that a person can do, and part of why that is because we are so attached to the past and to stability, and most of our reference points are to the past. And I think that the thing that we do the least, that would be the most helpful to use this enormous, seemingly endless resource that we have of everything that's happened before, is to take it apart, is to deconstruct and reinterpret what has happened before so that you get a new understanding from it. The big transit, of course, that has been and will be kind of holding the main thread of your life story is Pluto in Capricorn. Pluto's right at the midpoint now, so that means half of all Capricorns have had Pluto conjunct the Sun, and the other half have yet to have them. It is, as I say, right at the midpoint, and I think that the midpoint is a sensitive point that affects everyone, not just those born under your sign or rising sign, and that we are at a turning point, a kind of a global communal turning point for this Pluto in Capricorn process. And just to start with the big world, to start with the kind of huge general trends that most people don't see as having any vague association with their own lives, right? I mean, if you're, you know, not running for president or for senator or whatever, you might not think that you have anything in common with the biggest trends that society is encountering. But think of it this way. The world in many ways is falling apart. In some ways, it's being blown up. In some ways, it's being looted. In other ways, it is kind of collapsing under the strain of the demands that we have put on it. And what has largely been a failure by, you know, the larger entities, those entities responsible for maintaining the world to do that. And so we see a lot of chaos happening. I saw a segment last night, I forget which network it was on, maybe Al Jazeera, explaining the consequences of pumping all the water out of the ground in California. And I forget the word for it that they used, but basically the ground sinks. And things like bridges and canals, like concrete basin canals, sink along with it. And they're having huge problems now as a result of this. And basically what was an already fragile infrastructure is now being put under the additional strain of downward motion, and apparently the land is sinking at greater than, in some places, greater than 1 foot a year. That is an astonishing amount of movement. And in many ways, that is a kind of an example, an illustration of Pluto in Capricorn, because Capricorn represents infrastructures, skeletons, exoskeletons, the skin, the bones, the teeth of people and of society, and you happen to be born under a sign that is associated with these things, that is associated with essentially the political world, the political structure, the corporate environment, and the corporate structure. And this is one of the reasons that the older astrology books would ascribe to Capricorn a certain kind of ambition. And I would imagine that you have noticed some kind of affinity or interest or fascination with this dimension of reality, even if you're not, you know, necessarily fully imbibing it, fully participating in it. But it is likely to be something of interest to you, and maybe more than a little bit of interest. But the main point being that the same major forces that are acting on society and the corporate environment, the governmental environment, the political environment, the structure that supports what we think of as society, is under the same influence that you are, which is the deconstructionist influence of Pluto in Capricorn. And it's worth making the correlation. There are other elements in your chart right now that describe a necessity for you to understand what politics is. And that does not merely mean, you know, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. Politics really is the way that people interact when they are, when reality is reduced down to the most crude forces of what one person can do to another person, and the ways in which people gain power and influence, and the ways that they implement their agendas. And so if we use that definition, everyone has to function politically in some way, whether it's office politics or the academic politics of your department, if you're a professor, the relationship that we all have on some level with the government environment and the you know, the basic structure of society, paying taxes, legal matters, and all of that. And both you and all of that are under the influence of the same astrology, which is Pluto in Capricorn. And this has gone on for a while, and the first approximately 3 years were one thing, 2008 through 2011, and then from 2011 forward has been something even more intense, more rapidly moving, less predictable, and in many ways more challenging, particularly due to the fact that one of the most essential qualities of your sign is its affinity with stability. We tend to count on things in the nature of Capricorn, rightly or wrongly, as the things that will be there. And humans have a tense relationship to these things, and there always seems to be someone who is more interested in their own personal interests than looking out for any collective interests, and somebody who wants the, you know, $5 billion pension fund that the post office has set aside, and they're willing to kind of damage and torment the post office. And yet for those of us who have any sense of decency, the post office is a really important thing. And so we're in times now when it's okay to say, you know, who cares about the post office? We're in times where it is okay to do things like sell off the American dream as the subprime mortgage crisis that led to the Great Recession. Basically, we are in times when tradition, in its best sense, is not being honored. And you are in a time when tradition in all of its senses needs to be questioned. There's no way to resist the influence, the power of Pluto, the unstoppable force. And we are now presented with the unstoppable force kind of moving methodically, systematically through all of the things that we have taken for granted for so long. And I think that probably quite a while ago, you probably figured out that you couldn't be taking the past for granted for very much longer. There was no way that you could just, you know, imagine that everything would be as it once was, and there was not really a need to adapt to the times changing. And once you're in the modality of understanding, you really do have to ask the right questions and do need to not take for granted the things that you did, whether that be certain family ties, whether that be the structure of what a household is, the expectations that men and women have on each other, the expectation that children have on adults. You're in a time when all that must be questioned, and when you are also subjected to forces outside of your control, or seemingly so, that are not necessarily in alignment with what you want, and yet you still have to deal with those forces. And what I'm seeing in your charts is that this is calling on you to rise to the occasion of actually dealing with powerful forces rather than merely being subjected to them or subjecting yourself to them, and that one of the most important ways that you can do this is to think in a way that is strategic. And so one of the themes I'm going to be developing a bit is the theme of strategy. But there's a few things that are kind of precursors, and one of them is this thing about politics, and just at least acknowledging that people will tend to do what they can get away with. They might do it to you. They might do it to everyone. They might act one corporation or government against another, and that as part of that, people are unlikely to admit what their real agenda is. Now, at the very least, you need to know what your real agenda is, what your intentions are, what your desires are, and what your actual plans are, and how you're going to relate to those things. The other issue that really is foundational is the issue of stability, which would be the whole question about the foundations moving and shifting, and they are moving and shifting considerably, and that is likely to increase substantially over the course of the next year and a half, as there is a lot of unprecedented, at least in our lifetimes, activity in your house of foundations, your fourth house, which happens to be Aries in the solar astrology system. If you're Cap rising, then it's Aries by whole signed houses. So the fourth place from Capricorn is Aries, fourth signed house. And what's interesting is that Aries represents the sense of self, and you have a way of building your foundation on your sense of self, right? This has been true for you since you were a child. You were one of these people who knew who you were, and that's been one of the things that's helped you kind of make up your character, establish your character for what you actually are, because you just had that innate sense of being, of knowing. And now that innate sense is itself under considerable strain. So whether we look at your first house, Capricorn, and we count the movement of Pluto moving through there, or we look at the fourth house, Aries, and we count the movement of both Uranus, the planet of disruption and revolution, and Eris, another kind of revolutionary and potentially disruptive force, acting together in concert as they have been, especially in the era from 2011 through 2015. The thing you are having to learn how to do is to basically live with a level of instability that you might not like very much. Might not like having to live this close to the edge or to the edge of change, always on the cusp of some other new change happening, some new change to adapt to and to get used to. And yet, at the same time, this is compelling you to make progress in aspects of your life that are long neglected, aspects of yourself and of your personal mission that are, you know, potentially you left behind a long time ago to pursue other agendas or other needs or desires. And so adapting to life in this unstable, uncertain kind of moving ground requires a level of adaptation, special adaptations. I've used this metaphor before. I'm not sure for what sign or for what reading, but in places where there tend to be a lot of earthquakes, the people tend to live in light buildings so that when the earth moves, which they know that it will move, they are in a light building so that, for example, a tent falls on them and not 100 tons of rubble. And there's a big difference. You're very likely to survive an earthquake when all that fell on you is a tent, if the tent even falls down, than you are if you're on the, you know, fourth floor of a brittle structure. And so this is a message about rethinking structure and using more flexible structures and counting on the fact that there is going to be movement. Now, the flexible structures that I'm talking about, you know, they might be the physical dwelling that you live in, but really they're about you. The earthquake metaphor is a personal metaphor. It's an internal metaphor. And it is vital under this astrology that you learn and devote yourself to the art of flexibility. And that can include processing knowledge quickly enough that you know what to discard and what new knowledge to take on. There's a lot about learning skills. You might want to look at the things that you've resisted learning and your whole relationship to learning and count that as one of the most crucial adaptation skills to the astrology that you are living under. Now, the time frame that I'm talking about, the 2011 through 2015 inclusive time frame, about a 5-year time frame, was one distinct thing. The Uranus-Pluto square, with Uranus in your fourth house of stability and your sense of self, your foundation of self, that strong foot of self that you can stand on, and then another version of self-concept or self in Capricorn, the sign that most predominantly represents you, meeting in this series of endless encounters, squares, 7 of them, from 12, like early 12 to mid 12 to early 15. And that put you in a position where you basically were always expecting the next shock or the next earthquake to, come along. And that astrology is now separating. It will continue to have effects, but that square now is getting wider all the time rather than narrower. Those planets slowly drift apart and we move toward the Uranus-Pluto opposition, which I think is in like 2044, 2046 or something. It's a long way off. So something unusual has come through your life. And there has now been a shift toward a more introspective, introverted, internally oriented need to look at your world and at the world kind of in the aftermath of all these changes. And this too involves your sign, because the planet that rules Capricorn is involved, that planet being Saturn. And of all of the changes to come in the past year, this is one of the most important, because Saturn has changed signs into Sagittarius. And Sagittarius for you is your 12th house, 12th solar house, 12th whole sign house if you're Capricorn rising. Simply the 12th place from Capricorn, so it's the one right before your sign, and the sign right before one sign, or the 12th house in your natal chart, can be a place where you see influences that are deeply introverted or potentially isolated or isolating. And so the simple way to put this is you may feel a different, unusual form of loneliness and being cut off from certain people and places and things, perhaps feeling removed from the world or removed from your sense of potential for engaging with the world. And yet this is helpful in that it is really drawing your attention inward. And it is compelling you to, first of all, make peace with yourself on a very deep level, and at the same time to focus your thoughts, your ideas, literally the words you use to describe yourself are this kind of a really profound message saying that how you describe yourself inwardly, how you think of who you are, is one of the main messages of Saturn square Neptune. Neptune being in Pisces, Pisces being your third house of mental constructs, mental ideas, expressions, words, sentences, paragraphs, pages, books, typewriters, keyboards, all devices of communication. And having Pisces here as a kind of a lifetime placement does not lend itself well to clarity. It does not lend itself well to the ability to put words together, to put clear thoughts together. However, the presence of planets and the presence of aspects to those planets in Pisces, particularly Saturn square Neptune and Saturn square Chiron, which is coming up at the end of the year, are compelling you and providing you with a kind of a leverage to get clear. Now, what I think is necessary is to not take for granted how clear you are or are not, but rather to simply be as clear as you can be and never assume that you've gotten there, that you understand everything, that everything is clear and you are perfectly well understood, or that you understand yourself. And so we have another movement described, a trend of what may feel like instability, that instability being the way that you think of yourself, the way that you describe yourself, the way you express yourself is coming under constant challenge, such that, you know, if you had to write a 3-page essay every morning, this is my life, it could be radically different every single day that you write it. And so in yet another way, there is an indication of becoming accustomed to this thing that may be the very most antithetical to who you are, which is making friends with constant motion, unpredictability, instability, and the lack of a coherent narrative to describe your existence. And there is likely to be a temptation to kind of cling to a narrative or make up a narrative, perhaps hang on to something from the past that might have worked. And yet I think it is much more helpful if you stay in the space of mystery and of change and of not knowing, and being aware that you have a past and the past has an influence, that you have a future, and how you think about that future has an influence, that really that you stay in the moment and not try to project too far ahead or depend too heavily on who and what was present or true in the past. So that is to say, given that your chart is illustrative of constant, nonstop change, perhaps a few too many crises for your taste as a person who does like things to be grounded, and you like to be grounded, you know, being aware of the fact that there is going to be change and that this change is calling on you basically to entirely reformulate your concept of who you are and what you are and what your existence is about. And while you are reformulating that and rethinking that, while you have the structure and your self-concepts apart, and while you are being compelled to look within and completely rethink who you are, that you rethink who you are, allowing for flexibility and, you know, doing yourself the favor of making sure that your major concepts are flexible concepts, that you are not bound in to any kind of contracts with yourself that you can't get out of, because there are forces that are unpredictable and that you will be surprised by. And it would help if your commitments to yourself and to others factored in the potential for change, and that you get used to basically where you are being home, and that you allow yourself to take a broad survey of internal states of mind, external places in the world, and feel for where, both in terms of state of mind and physically, you feel the most at home. And then that you allow your experience of existence to pass through you more than trying to climb up onto it like a set of monkey bars. Imagine more that existence is something that flows through you rather than something that you flow through. And as you open up and allow the flow of your experience to move through you, you're more likely to be friendly with these extraordinarily powerful forces of change in your life. And I think that more significantly, you will be able to use them to your own benefit in some way, that you will actually be able to make this an even more productive journey rather than one that seems to be defined by what you have to give up and what stability that you don't have. Now, this has an influence on relationships, of course, and the main influence it has is that I think that from what I've seen, heard, and felt and experienced of the world lately, relationships are considered not so much a journey but a destination. And it is crucial, I think, that you think of your relationships as a journey and not as a destination. I think that one of the most, you know, huge mistakes people make is that they construct their relationships with a sense of finality, how this is how it's going to be, rather than the sensation of embarking, rather than the sensation of the commencement of something fun or exciting or interesting or productive. And if you can think of your relationships as kind of a continuous beginning, the phrase that's been imported from Zen is beginner's mind, to approach the world with a sense of mystery and to approach people with a sense of mystery rather than needing to define yourself and your role and the role of others in your life and to, you know, basically be kind of planning the wedding and having the invitations printed and then, you know, saving for the future college education. Instead of all of that kind of leaping ahead, and instead of doing what I think that a great many people are doing right now, which is clinging to old tradition, dead tradition, keep yourself kind of alert and awake and in the moment and engage with the transience of things. It would seem that there's a phase or many phases of spiritual growth where being conscious of transience is the most important thing that you can do. Recognizing that one property of existence that is at once abused and then in other ways completely ignored. And instead of abusing or ignoring it, to keep a healthy relationship with the fact that there is change and that things do change and you do change, as does your whole life scenario. And as you make peace with kind of riding that edge of being in the moment and recognizing that everything is in a process of changing now, it will be more possible to engage with that change in a constructive way where you have, in a sense, quicken your vibration to the point where you're moving a little bit quicker than the forces that are acting on you, where you have kind of raised your awareness to the point where you can actually identify the psychological and spiritual and perhaps structural forces that are operating on you, and use the whole process much more creatively. And this creative expression thing kind of becomes the name of the tune in a lot of ways. The ability to take ownership both of your journey and your vision for yourself and all the forces that are acting on you internally and externally, and imagine what you can actually do with them. Imagine how you can use all of that to create something closer to the life you want on a moment-to-moment basis. And so in the second section, take a little break and come back. I'd like to talk about how you might do that and some of the different strategic approaches that you might take and some of the ways in which you can explore creatively and what it might be that you actually build. So I'll be back with you in a digital instant. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you soon.